Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Takeology, with your three boys in the lab so you can do the cooking. We got our boy Avery back with me, Alex Houston, and Matt. How are we feeling today, boys?
Feeling great. I was off Lady Chase and then didn't come back too successful.
That happens sometimes, doesn't it? That happens.
Yeah.
Well, welcome in. We're so glad you tuned in to Takeology. We're kicking off and going strong. We got a lab report today to talk about. We had some big news that we've been waiting on for a long time, right? As a Steelers fan, Avery wanted it to go one way. Sadly, in his favor, it did not.
Oh, stupid Broncos.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. They hurt the trade there. But we're talking about Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers receiver. He signed a 4-year extension worth $120 million. That's a lot of money.
Money, money, money.
That's right. Listen, anytime you wait out, you're going to end up paying him. So what do we think about that today, boys?
I feel like Roger Sheevers, I mean, you have to pay him what they're worth. I mean, you got to pay the market. I don't know. This just solidifies Brock Purdy top 10 season again. I mean, come on now. This top 10 season on lock. Having his number two receiver back.
Brock Purdy. The Brock Purdy hype.
But yeah, I think Brock Purdy definitely benefits the most out of this. I mean, I know Ayuk got paid, but I don't know. Brock Purdy is only so good because of his weapons. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, I hate it for Kittle, and I hate it for Debo in terms of they could – I'd love to see their an offense where they're kind of the top two guys with CMC in the backfield just to see kind of how much they could turn up out there because they're amazing talents in their position. But when you have so many weapons, I think of like the Texans, when you have so many different options to go to as a quarterback, in terms of fantasy, it kind of hurts their value, right? Mm-hmm. Like last year, DJ Moore, he was the guy out there. Justin Fields, not a great quarterback, fed him the ball, and he had a good season. Where now he has to fight with Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, and it's the same thing at the 49ers. So it's hard to trust in those 49ers receivers or even just any of them, in my opinion, other than CMC, if they're worth a start. How do you feel about that, Matt?
I don't know. Who are you talking about specifically?
The fact that Ayuk is back on the 49ers, like that it's going to be Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, CMC, a loaded offense, which is good in terms of NFL, but for fantasy, it kind of hurts each of their values, in my opinion, just because the ball has to go all over the place. They're not going to force feed one guy.
I think the only person that hurts is Kittle. We were hoping if Ayuk was traded, Kittle would get more of that target share that he hasn't really received. A lot of people around the league have called for Kittle to get more targets than he does because of his skill level. But with the amount of skill position players they have that are so good on that team, it just can't go around to everybody. And Kittle's kind of the one that loses out of all the guys on that team. I think this will help Debo in the long run because we've kind of seen that he's not the best route runner. They manufacture a lot for him, whether it's in the running game, but he has the second best corner on him when Ayuk's there. So I think that just helps him. As far as Ayuk goes, He was very efficient last year, so I don't know if it'll be the same level of success he had last year, but he'll still have a good season with Purdy. This helps Purdy tremendously. Mm-hmm. We saw when Debo was out last year, they had kind of a tough time moving. That was like the only real time we saw the 49ers struggle last year. With all the guys on that team healthy and ready to go, they look like they're going to have another 12-win season, which sucks. Don't want to see that as a Chiefs fan. We'll see him again in the Super Bowl, I would say, and we'll just beat Brock Purdy again. Simple as that.
Get out of here.
Easy.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, I drafted Debo in my 12-man league, and I'm like, he'll still – even if he doesn't get the wide receiver touches, they give him like a running back touches as well. He gets like three rush attempts a game for some reason. And then, I was trying to trade for George Kittle in our dynasty league. I'm out on that. That guy should have taken the trade off from when he had the chance.
I mean, he's a phenomenal player. Unfortunately, him being so good at blocking hurts him in the passing game.
Yeah.
They just love using him to help the running game out, which in turn kind of hurts him as far as the passing offense goes.
That's what I was going to say. He's such a good blocker that it takes away from getting to run those routes, which is good for CMC, good for Brock Purdy, but not good for Kittle.
Let's go CMC season again. Let's go.
I agree. If you're not a number one pick, though, you can't even touch the guy. So it's kind of tough.
I agree.
So shout out to getting the number one pick.
But I mean, speaking of the 49ers, I mean, Trent Williams hasn't signed yet. Do you think they're going to re-sign him? Are they still going to be as good?
That's a big deal. It really is. Without him, who's to say? That line really wasn't that good last year. Trent Williams just helps him out so much because he's literally the best left tackle in the game. This will, if he's not there, and he held out in Washington. And he's one of the few players that when he held out, he means it. He's not going to show up. He's not going to play a game.
Nope.
So they're going to have to pay him or trade him, which is what Washington did back in the day.
Yep.
But they need him on this team. Left tackle is one of the most important positions for a quarterback.
Right-handed. So yes.
I really think they're just going to push it down the road and pay him, push the bills down later, which kind of hurts their future in my opinion. But this team's so good and they're older. So I do understand going for it now. With an old team like this, you kind of have to. Especially, they're just so good. You have to go for it now. And I understand why they paid Ayuk, even if it's not something – I mean, we saw the Chiefs trade Tyreek in his prime, which it's good for the future. We signed Mahomes to the long deal, so that makes sense. With these older players on this roster, signing Ayuk really does make sense. As far as winning goes here in the short term.
Yeah, I agree. Trent Williams still has three years, $75 million. It's just none of that's guaranteed. That's the kicker to it all. He's still getting paid, just not guaranteed money.
Yeah, he does, he wants the security, which it's understandable. A player that age and how physical the 49ers are just in general as a team, you're going to want that guaranteed money.
Yep.
And he'll get it. Let's be real here.
One way or another, he's going to find that money. Makes more than me, so you know I wouldn't complain too much. But if he can share some of that love, I'd appreciate that. So
hey, you're doing the Lord's work. You're doing the Lord's work.
That's true. Man, I would love me some $75 million. Not even guaranteed. I don't even care if it's guaranteed or not. I'll take it.
Hey, I mean, you were a dog on the I am offensive line. That's what you were. I mean,
hey.
Come on, give this man $75 million right now.
Didn't let nobody. Actually, I probably offensively, I let a lot of people pass me. Defensively,
probably killed me back there at QB. I mean, I was struggling.
I am not an offensive lineman. Never have been. Never will be. And I was barely a defensive lineman. So. But it's okay, boys. It's all right. We all have our times to shine. All right. Speaking of some time to shine, right, we'll touch on this real quick. Nothing crazy. It's not necessarily fantasy-worthy right now. But for the future, we had some college football last night. We're going to have some today. We're going to have some tomorrow. I'm loving it. It's that season of football, right? Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, some future picks in Dynasty that are popping.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
They had a good night last night, but we have some haters in the podcast here today. Avery, what do you think?
I'm not. Travis Hunter, best player in college football. No argument there. I think he's going to end up playing corner rather than wide receiver because the NFL, you're not going to play both ways, really. So, it's not that day and age. But he's a dog. He can play whichever one he wants. I mean, probably the best player in college football. And I saw Tyreek Hill was like, don't matter if you need a quarterback or a defensive line, you're going to pick him at number one. And I agree with it. But no. I'm not a Sanders fan. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. He's playing old South Dakota State. I mean, I think we could have got out there and played just as good at safety as they did. There were multiple times like they were drawn. They just parted. I mean, they just left the middle of the field wide open. Also, the best receiver in college football, Travis Hunter, why don't you double cover him? How many times are you going to leave him on an island? I mean, come on now. I mean, I can make that throw all day. But, yeah, I don't think he's number one. He's probably top five in this class. No argument there about that.
Carson Beck.
This is kind of a weaker class. And just like quarterback-wise, way weaker than last year. So, I don't know. I hope he doesn't come to Pittsburgh. That's all it would be detrimental. I would not like that. How about you, Matt? What do you think?
First off, it was North Dakota State.
My bad.
They have had some success in the past with Carson Wentz being there and Trey Lance. That's not an awful football program. But I just think he's such a physical specimen. Like last night, he was scrambling almost the whole game. His offensive line looked terrible. And they were getting pressured by North Dakota State. Imagine what's going to happen when they're playing Oregon or at some of these bigger schools. But Sanders really handled it well. Like, I was kind of a critic of him as well. And I'm not saying I still am. But he scrambled out of that pocket last night and delivered just some absolute darts. And I do understand Travis Hunter he's phenomenal. I don't know which position he'll play. He might follow the money route as far as going receiver. That's the position everybody wants to play right now just because of how much money they're making. But they also have another good receiver. Alex, what was his name? He tore it up last night.
Thorne or something?
I thought it was Horn Jr.
Oh, it's Horn. Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked phenomenal last night too. Their offense looks absolutely set up. Their defense was horrendous. I thought it looked pretty bad. But as far as Sanders goes, I don't know if he's the best quarterback out of this class. But as far as potential, he sure could be. He looked pretty darn good last night. And I'd like to see it against some better competition. But the way he was delivering accurate throws, sometimes on the move, sometimes pressure in his face, it did impress me. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think he's going to be – the next best Patrick Mahomes or nothing, or next Tom Brady, but he'll be a decent quarterback, I think.
Well, nobody's
right, yeah.
Nobody's Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, hey.
We'll see. There'll be another one here.
There'll be one or two, right? His name was Jimmy Horn Jr. That's the guy who was on the Colorado.
All right, awesome. Himself. He looked good last night.
He did look good.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm hoping they have a good season. I'm not a hater. I'm riding with the Sanders gang.
That would just be good for college football.
Yeah, it would.
Really. I mean, Colorado being good they're such a draw for audiences. I mean, that game, there was probably millions of people that watched that game. I would just like to see we're SEC fans. We've got Georgia fans in here and then also Arkansas.
Go Hawks.
We definitely root for the SEC, but it'd be nice to have another school just kind of implement themselves in the college football scene.
Yeah, I agree.
All fun and games till they actually play a real school.
We'll they play the dog.
It happened to them last year. I mean, just saying.
They did.
No, Oregon. No. Man. The way that defense looked, they're gonna get embarrassed. sometime this year.
We'll see it. All right. Well, that's our lab report for the day.
Hold on. I got one thing. Well, I guess old Mathematic just had to step off for a minute. Ja'Marr Chase still hasn't shown up to practice. I'm just saying. I mean, I know it's not huge. It is pretty big news.
It's big news, I mean, yeah, for the Bengals.
I think if he doesn't get a contract, he's not playing. I know Matt feels opposite about that, but I think he – did you see the release today, this morning? He says he wants to get paid, what is it, $140 million and 1 cent. That way he can beat Jefferson by 1 cent.
I don't think they are going to do that. Just knowing how the organization works, I don't think they will. Also, I think it's kind of like a pride thing at this point. They're like, you know what? No, we're going to ride this out. If you're going to be that kind of person, you know, it'd be like if I said, you know, I'm not going to come to work until I get a pay raise. They're going to fire me. I mean, yep. They can find somebody else. I mean, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is a standout guy, so you can't really find another Ja'Marr Chase. I think they'll pay him, but I don't think they're going to do it right now. I think they're going to wait because it's only going up. And, I mean, they probably should just pay him now because it's the market's going to rise. I mean, it is, but I don't think they're going to as an organization. So,
I'm sorry my puppy was freaking out. I heard what you said, though. I do think he'll play this year. I think he kind of – I just talked about it yesterday. I think he kind of folded his hand a little bit when he showed up to practice. He is a diva. You're correct on that. He's got 2 years left that he's going to have to play. I do think he'll get a new contract at the end of the year. But as far as beginning of the year, I said yesterday, they might move a little bit of money around to make him a little more happy, but I really, you're not going to see a long-term. What do we got? How many days we got left?
Less than a week. Kickoff is 6 days away. It's next Thursday.
Yeah, so next Thursday.
He's not going to get a deal done within 6 days. It's just not going to happen. But yeah, I do think he'll play. He might miss week one. Zach Taylor came out in this press conference and said he's day to day. But the day before that, he said he's confident he's playing week one. So yeah, it's kind of mixed reporting here. There's no way to really know if he's going to play or not. I think he will. That's just a personal opinion. I hope he does. but if he doesn't, the world still goes on. It'll be fun.
But not your fantasy team. Your fantasy team's cooked if he doesn't play.
Hey, at least it's Dynasty.
I mean, if you want to trade him, I guess I'll take him. I mean,
you got two people willing to trade, man. I mean, two people right here.
I told you guys yesterday he will not be traded.
That's bad. That's bad.
I agree. I agree with that. Well, that's our lab report for today. I'm sure, you know, league news continues. It's that time of year. Lots of things are happening. Season coming up. So, today we've got a segment called Game Changer Gems, right? These are some guys that we are all in for. We're not saying they're league winners, right? We're not saying they're the best of the best, but they're guys that we believe in, right? Game Changer Gems. We'll start. Who should we start with today? Who's feeling up, ready to go first? Their first game changer.
I'm ready to dog.
Uh-oh. Matt's in the hot seat. All right, let's hear our number one game changer gem from Matt McDonald.
Okay, so this guy is one that I very much believe in. I drafted in the 10 spot in our redraft league. With being in that spot, there's a couple different options I had. I went with A.J. Brown. But in most leagues, Gibbs is going to be that 10th, 11th range. But since we're in a 10-team league, I got the 10th and then the 11th pick. I ended up going with Gibbs over Taylor, Kyren, and those type of guys. The reason I went Gibbs, I really think his potential is just uncapped. Last year we saw him, he was kind of in a split backfield with Montgomery, who in itself is actually a pretty good running back. He's getting a little older, but last year, this might surprise you guys, Gibbs actually had 680 of the total snaps, and Montgomery only had 555. And it's kind of looked at last year as Montgomery having just a split backfield, and it was pretty even across the field. But it actually wasn't. Gibbs outpaced him towards the end of the season. He started getting most of the looks at the end. What really excites me about Gibbs is his targets. This guy is a pass-catching machine, And when he's in the open field, he really can make anybody miss, no matter who it is. So he had 71 targets last year to Montgomery's 24. So he's definitely the target leader in the running back backfield. And with them losing Josh Reynolds last year, from last year, Josh Reynolds is not going to move. He's not going to move mountains for you, but he at least got some targets in that offense. And I'm hoping what will happen is Gibbs just gets an even larger target share this year. Last year, Gibbs had 182 attempts on the ground, and Montgomery had 219. So Montgomery outpaced him a little bit as far as rushing goes. But Montgomery in total only had 1,000 yards to Gibbs' 945. So Gibbs was much more efficient. He averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Montgomery only averaged 4. So I think that kind of shows you the difference in age and explosiveness between the two backs, because Detroit's line is one of the best in the league. With Kelce retiring, I really think it is the best line in the league now. And I really think – I know Gibbs had the slight hamstring tweak in preseason, but it looks like he's going to be ready week one. My last point is Gibbs only caught 52 of those 71 targets. So with him coming into a second year, he should be more reliable of a pass catcher this year. And we saw when he's got the ball, he is just absolutely explosive. And then I had one final thing, and this is really important fantasy-wise. So Gibbs had 55 opportunities within the red zone. So that is just pretty phenomenal. It can give you a lot of potential for him to just carry you on a weekly basis. At the beginning of the year, Montgomery had the lion's share of the red zone opportunities. But as the year went on, it pretty much flip-flopped in its entirety. Gibbs was getting about 75% of the red zone touches, and then Montgomery had the rest. So I think this backfield is kind of flip-flopped to where Gibbs is now the lead guy, and Montgomery's going to play. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be on the field. But I think Gibbs is going to get the more important touches, and he's so much more valuable in the red zone and as far as pass catching goes. So I'm pretty high on Gibbs this year. I really think he can carry a lot of teams this year, and I'm just excited to see him play. But do you guys feel like Gibbs has finally taken the lead role over from him?
I think he's taking the lead role. I hate committee running back outlook in terms of fantasy. For NFL, like, reasoning, it's good in terms of, like, injuries, in terms of just fatigue, and it makes a team better to have two guys that are two different people to go out there and play. But for fantasy, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, I had a guy last year where I would watch him all the way down the field. They got to the goal line, and they put somebody else in. And I would just get enraged watching that happen. Because it's like, my guy has worked this hard to get there, just let him get in the end zone. So I think maybe that's more of an emotional take for me. I think he's the lead back, but it's just hard for me to pick a guy that's a committee running back. I think Gibbs is going to be good, and he's the receiving back for sure. But I love Montgomery too, and I think Gibbs, if he gets hurt, I value Montgomery in terms of that. If I'm not going to pick Gibbs, I'm definitely picking Montgomery. You know what I mean? But I agree with you. I think this is his year, and this is his time to prove it, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same boat. I think I would have taken Jonathan Taylor over Jahmyr Gibbs. That's just me personally. But I know when you feel a way about a guy, you got to take him. So, like, if you believe him, you got to take him. And, I mean, I've always had Jonathan Taylor, the good experience. I haven't really had the bad. So, you got to survive that. I was looking at this, and it looks like Montgomery only played 14 games while Gibbs played 15. And Montgomery was the running back 9 while Gibbs – and that's in points per game. Montgomery was actually running back 6 and Gibbs was 11. So, I mean, Montgomery's still a dog. I think, like, he's still going to get – I think it's a closer 50-50 than people think. I don't think Gibbs is going to get, like, 70-30 or 75-20. It's going to be more like a 60-40, 55-45. Just because I think this is probably the best 1-2 backfield in the league. Like, I mean, the only other one you think of is, like, them. You got
Dolphins.
Tony Pollard. Yeah, the Dolphins. You got Tony Pollard and Spears, and you got, like, Pitts, the Steelers. Those are really the only ones you're like, oh, these are competent running backs that and these are the best two. And I just want to say explosiveness. I'm just saying Gibbs did have more 20-plus yard touchdowns, but what is the longest run do you think Jahmyr Gibbs had? What's the longest run? I just saw the stat. This is why I'm bringing it up. It's just a fun stat.
I want to. I mean, I feel like I watched a game where he just broke out and went forever. I want to say like 86 yards or something.
I think he's saying it because it's not very long.
That's what I know.
But what do you think it is?
I'm going to say 25.
His longest 36. Yeah. You want to hear Montgomery's longest? I'll just tell you 75.
So maybe it was Montgomery. I was watching.
It was Montgomery that had. But I agree. That's just funny to me that the more explosive guy had not the longest run on the team, which cracks me up. But yeah. I agree. I think you're right, though. I think it is going to flip, and Gibbs is going to be, like, the number one. But the hamstring, like, it worries me because I guess hamstring injuries, like, reoccur more often. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're willing to take the risk, it's not really a risk. He's going to be a dog regardless.
So, yeah, you guys are 100% right. This is such a good backfield. They're going to give opportunities to both. And like you were saying with the split backfields, it's almost like that on any team you look at nowadays. Yeah. Besides, with the exception of like the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey, he's the main guy. Yeah. Probably in Baltimore, Henry. That one's a little dicey. Their backups are not good, but Henry is old. So I really don't know how they're going to work that out. But I think the pass catching ability is just so valuable because when you're on those third and longs, it's going to be Gibbs in the game instead of Montgomery just because of how good of a pass catcher he is, and he can stretch that field to get the first down. And then with Gibbs getting more of the opportunities in the red zone at the end of the year, they really kind of showed their hand. They were playing Gibbs more in the playoffs than they did Montgomery, which – it just shows you the amount of trust they gained with Gibbs throughout the year. And I really think that's going to carry in to this year. Maybe not the first game because he had the hamstring thing, which Avery's right, it does linger. But in fantasy football, injuries happen. You can't really be scared of that. Like last year, we're scared of Mike Evans getting hurt. You get such a value on him in the late. I mean, I don't know where he drafted him, but it was later than he should have gone.
Seventh round, I think. Yeah. His average about where he went last year.
Yeah, people were just not high on him because he's older. He had Baker Mayfield. You just can't be scared of stuff like that in fantasy football because you can miss out on players that will absolutely win you a league, which you just have to take risk. And with Jonathan Taylor, I really debated that for a long time. But Anthony Richardson's just a scary prospect. Like he's
– dog.
It's almost going to be like Jalen Hurts in Philly where he just vultures a lot of those goal line touches, which it scared the heck out of me. And then Jonathan Taylor's had some injury concerns as well as Kyler, Kyren, who is in consideration for me. But Kyren also has the injury. So you just can't be scared of that stuff, and you got to go with your gut. And this is why it's a My Guy segment. You guys are going to bring up guys that you believe in. Others may not, but that's just you got to draft who you believe in and who you think is going to make the most of an impact on your team.
Yeah. I agree with you.
So would you recommend going out and training for this man in different leagues? So any cost, go get him.
I would support. I think you were a smart man trying to get him in Dynasty. Gibbs is going to be that lead. That team is going to be good. They just locked up Goff for a long time. They locked up Amon-Ra. That team is going to be good for a long time. And on a good – it's such a good offense too, which we care about so much. And I think Gibbs is going to be such a valuable piece going forward. I think you would be a lucky man if you were able to secure him.
Lucky down.
It would cost a lot. I'll just put it that way.
It will cost a lot. It's a first-round pick.
It would be – it'd be a first-round pick plus. This dude is phenomenal. He really is. This is his second year we're talking about. Like people almost forget that he was a rookie last year. And that's kind of why they ended up trusting him more in the second half of the season, just because he got more reps.
I like it. So first game changer, Jim, from Matt, is Jahmyr Gibbs. So I like to see. I'll go ahead and go next if you're cool with that, Avery.
Yes, of course. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Call me.
These questions. You guys just leave.
Man,
me
I was looking something up real quick.
Okay, you can fact check me here. So my game changer, Jim, is a Georgia Bulldog. Number one, a big reason why I got to choose these guys. As a dog fan, you got to choose the dog.
Yeah, Georgia boy.
Georgia, sick 'em. So my Georgia Bulldog pick is James Cook on the Buffalo Bills. I had him last year, and I wasn't as excited last year about him as I am probably this year because I think I choose guys off an emotional decision. And watching James Cook carry this team with Josh Allen, he'd run the whole drive. And then when they got to the 3-yard line, they brought in Latavius Murray. I was enraged every time I saw Latavius Murray run out there to get a goal line touch. Or Josh Allen, even. He would take those goal line touches. But I think this year, or I know for a fact this year, it is James Cook's backfield. The backups are some – I mean, they're not no names, but it's Ray Davis and Ty Johnson. I mean, might as well be no names. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's James Cook's backfield this year. Last year, he had 210 fantasy points in PPR, and he was the 11th running back. So, I mean, I had a lot of feelings where I was like, man, I don't like this guy. I'm not picking him this year. But he was the 11th running back, and he only had 4 touchdowns through the air and 3 touchdowns on the ground with 1,122 rushing yards and 445 receiving. And those stats aren't just, like, amazing. But to be the 11th running back and to be in the position he was in last year, I think he is a steal kind of this year in terms of ADP where he's at. Because a lot of people just kind of forget about his name. I mean, he hasn't been in the league very long. And when you think of the Bills, you don't think of a running back. You think of Josh Allen running the ball. You know what I mean? He was inconsistent, but when they changed from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady, that offense looked completely different. So if you look at the first half of how James Cook played with Ken Dorsey as OC, when they were committee backfield when they shouldn't have been, in my opinion, he got the lead role kind of near the back half of the season, and he looked amazing. I think also if you're in a PPR league, James Cook is fantastic because he is a good receiving running back, and he will catch that ball and take it far. I mean, the fact that he got 4 touchdowns as a running back in terms of receiving, which was more than his rushing touchdowns, shows me that they're willing to pass him that ball even in the end zone, which is big for a running back because if you can get a touchdown from running it in or receiving it too, I think it adds more value to the player. So I'm big on him. And also the fact that Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis are no longer on this offense, we have no clue who the number one target is in terms of who's going to receive the ball, right? Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Keon Coleman. I mean, the receiver core is not that great. Dalton Kincaid is obviously going to get a lot of targets, I think. But there is 241 vacant targets just from last year, the amount of targets that Gabe Davis received and that Stephon Diggs received. That's a lot of targets to go around the field, and we don't know who it's going to. So, in my opinion, I think James Cook is going to have a great year this year under Joe Brady and that offense because they don't got much else to throw to. They don't got many other options. James Cook at least has been in this offense, and he's solidified. I hated watching last year when he had the fumble and they pulled him out on the first drive like he was in a penalty box. Mm-hmm. You know, so just to see that this is a new offense in terms of OC, in terms of new personnel on the field, I think James Cook is a game-changer gem because I think he's going to have a big year. Is this his third season or second? I think it's his third season.
Third.
Yeah, because the first rookie season, he kind of showed a little spurt here and there behind Devin Singletary. But I think this is a good year for him. I think he's going to play well. And I would have drafted him this year. I didn't really get the chance in my position. But I had him last year. There were ups and downs. But I think he's going to be more consistent. And I'm big on James Cook. How do you guys feel about that?
I like it. He is a phenomenal back. He's one of the most explosive ones just in the NFL in general. I think he had around like 1,500 scrimmage yards last year, which is in line with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, 1,122. So 1,500, yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't have the goal line work. Sorry about my dog. Avery, you go ahead. I'm going to go for her.
Oh, he's got a good dog. Just barks a little bit. He's trying to get it. What is ink? Is it? He's trying to get it adjusted, I guess is a good word. And I was going to use the word inclined, but I don't think that's the right word.
Nobody uses that word anymore.
I'm sorry. I'm just a smart guy. But James Cook would have been a my guy, but you picked him first. Got to give you credit for that. But I think he is in line to just have a great year. Like you said, there's no one in that backfield. No one
Ray at Davis? All. Who's that?
Yeah, Ray Davis. Yeah.
Who?
So I think he's in line to have a great year. I do think they're going to not – I mean, everyone says it. You know, they're like, we're not going to run Josh Allen as much as we hoped to as last year. They're still going to run – he's still going to run the ball. That's what makes him Josh Allen. That's what makes him QB1, like in the league. But I do think that he's going to take that touchdown rushing from about 4 to about 8 this year because, I mean, who else do they have? They got a good offense. It's just, their defense is awful, so they're going to have to score people. And that's the truth. So – yeah, I think it's a great pick. I picked him. I have him in every league I'm in. Every single league I have James Cook. I think I have him in the Dynasty League too. Let me check my team. But
more
I
than likely
I,
you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I got him in that one too. So I have him in all 4 teams I'm in this year. So I'm a big believer on him. I mean, I've drafted at the 1 spot twice and the 3 spot 2 times. So he fell. I get it. He fell to me. But I'm a big believer on him over guys like DeAndre Swift, other guys in that kind of range. Who's the other one? You got like Javonte Williams. You got some running backs in that range that I'm just much higher on him than a bunch of others. And speaking of which, Matt Collins, never heard of him. Someone tried to trade me Matt Collins. Why would I take that guy? Who is he?
He played for Atlanta for a little bit, and then before Atlanta, I don't know where he was. I just know he's the guy with long hair. Like super long hair under the helmet. And then he also doesn't wear shoes on the field. That's the only thing I know about him. So for a receiver to be known by his hair and his feet,
not a good receiver,
in my opinion, then, you know.
Yeah, someone tried to give me him. I was like, get this out of here. I don't even know who this guy is. But, yeah, James Cook, definitely going to be a top running back this year. I think he's definitely going to beat that ADP 14 running backs where they have him right now. And I think he's definitely going to beat that.
Okay, I like it.
But –
James Cook, I probably can speak for Matt on this, that he also loves James Cook because he's a Georgia dog. You know, he's going to be a fan of him. I mean, look at his brother. You know what I mean? Dalvin Cook was a Pro Bowler 4 times when he was on Minnesota. He's kind of fallen off the cliff. But, I mean, that's a family of running backs right there. You got to trust in him. So, James Cook, game-changer gem for me. And we got Jahmyr Gibbs. So 2 running backs as game changer gems. They're valuable this year because the receiver class is huge. So while Matt's gone, Avery, we're going to go ahead and go to yours then. Your game changer gem, your number one. Who you got, buddy?
Boy, you know, I've done talked about this guy once on the show about 2 episodes ago. This guy, Kyler Murray, I just think he is primed. He is set. He is ready for a good year. So his ADP, 75th. You're getting a top 10 quarterback in the middle seventh round. I think that's where I took. I think I have him on a couple of my teams, but I didn't just pick him because he's on my team. I think he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. I think injuries have derailed him the last year, which obviously anyone with the ACLs, it's going to happen.
Welcome back, everybody.
She had to use the restroom. I'm sorry.
But Kyler Murray, it said that he is – his head coach – said that he is leaps and bounds ahead of where he was last year, which is crazy because last year they finished with a 3-5 record, not great. But he averaged 5.5 yards per carry over those games. So when he runs, he's gonna get his yards. And so that's this crazy thing. He already looked good last year, so he's leaps and bounds of where he was. I get he's a short quarterback, but, man, that guy can move. You're talking about like Sanders. I think that's like Sanders – prime ability is to be like a better Kyler Murray. Like that's what you're drafting him to be. He's not like a pocket presence, like a Big Ben type of guy or Tom Brady, some guy that sits in the pocket and throws the ball. That you're getting on him because of his rushing upside. Now, I got to say, Kyler Murray's teams, you take away DeAndre Hopkins in those prime years, teams have been awful, just absolutely awful. This year, you're giving him Trent McBride, breakout star. And you're giving him Marvin Harrison Jr., best receiver in the draft class. I mean, come on now. And I said this. Alex Rohn pointed this out. I mean, last time he had a 1,000-yard receiver, top three quarterback. I mean, that's as easy as it is. So Kyler is a dog. How many seasons do you think Kyler's played?
Six.
He's played five. I think people are kind of fatigued on Kyler Murray. Here from 2019, he was QB 6, 3, and 10. And then when he was injured, he was quarterback 19, and he played in 11 games. So I'm just saying, last year, if you take his 8-game stretch, his average, he ends up being quarterback 8 above Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
So, I mean, he was on pace to have a great year. He just only played 8 games. So that's kind of it. Arizona does have the 16th hardest schedule, so they're right in the middle. It's not easy. It's not this ridiculously difficult. So that's just my thing. I think he's primed. I think with the core he has, he's going to be awesome. I mean, we saw it at the end of last year. Only problem is you're banking on injury. You're hoping that he's not going to get injured again with that ACL. So that's really the only big thing negative that I have against him.
I'm a huge believer in Kyler this year. I just fumbled the bag in our draft and accidentally so for your guys' knowledge, we did two drafts back to back, and I had Jamar on my first team that I drafted, and I got I thought I had Jamar on this team that so I drafted Joe Burrow for the stack. I didn't have him. I wanted Kyler.
No stack.
Yeah, no stack. Anyways, put that aside. Kyler's gonna have a phenomenal year. I had him last year when he came back. And he really had a good year. And when he has a 1,000-yard receiver, like you said, he's just been a league winner. He has such a good rushing ability, and he can just – when they get in the 5-yard line, he can scramble and improvise his way right into the end zone. So I'm a huge believer in this pick. I love it. Go Kyler. Wish I would have drafted him.
Who pointed that out, Matt? Who pointed out that you didn't have the stack?
I think it was you. I think
more than likely it was Avery.
It was late at night, and we had just spent 4 hours doing a dynasty draft.
It took a long time.
And we had been golfing before that. It had been a little bit of a long day.
Yeah, it was a long day. It's still a brain fart. I would have way rather had Kyler, but maybe Joe Scheisty will come back with a vengeance this year.
Yeah, you had him last year, Matt. How was that little ride?
It was Icy not Joe.
Not a good experience. If he can stay healthy, he's such a good quarterback. It's so hard for him to stay healthy. That's the one bad thing about him in his NFL career. It's just health. That's it.
Yeah.
I guess when that's the worst thing about you, you're doing pretty good.
Doing a good job, yeah. I respect the Kyler Murray pick. I'm a guy that I'm going to take a rushing quarterback over any other pocket quarterback unless they're just like amazing. Like they're getting 5,000 yards, 4,000 yards a season, and they're getting like 15 touchdowns. I mean, it's hard to be a top 10 quarterback just being a good pocket passer. I mean, if you look at just how the rushing upside can affect a player, they've been talking about Jaden Daniels could be a top 10 guy just on his value in rushing. So I think picking Kyler Murray in terms of ADP, it's amazing value. If you're going to you're not even punting the quarterback position, in my opinion. It's a strategy to load up on top tier receivers and running backs and get a good value in Kyler Murray, because I think he's going to have a good season, especially with Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, last year he had Hollywood Brown and that's it. And Trey McBride, and he looked great that back half of the season. So I think, especially with a top tier receiver, I think they're going to be good this year. I think Kyler Murray's a good pick. So I like that as a game changer gem. I do.
Yep.
Awesome. So we've got Jahmyr Gibbs, the James Cook, and a guy named Kyler Murray. We'll go through another round of game changer gems. So these are guys that we love. We love them. I figured we'd do a snake process here. So we're going to go back to Mr. Avery with your next game changer gem. Who you got, buddy?
Man, I mean, this guy, it's not agreed on by everybody, but I have faith. This guy, dog. And that man is Chris Olave from the New Orleans Saints, baby. Who dat? Who dat? But
disgusting.
This is a wild take.
I am telling y'all, Chris Olave's prime. Listen to this. He was the 24th ranked receiver last year. I know that's like, oh, what? That's a wide receiver too. Yes. Bun. But this year he's going at the 25th ADP spot. which ADP doesn't matter because this is a my guy regardless. I'd have picked him. Well, I had the first pick. I'd have picked him. I picked him at 20 most of the time.
You picked him at one?
No, I wouldn't pick him at one. I had that little snake draft. I came back at the 20, so I had to take him. It was like him or Devontae Adams. And so I took him. But anyway, the back half of last year, we knew the front half wasn't good. Like the first 8 weeks wasn't very – him and Derek Carr just weren't on the same page. I don't know what it was or why it was, but they just weren't. The back half of the year from week 10 on, 15.6, 16.2, 23, 13, 10, 18, and 16. Pretty solid numbers for a wide receiver. He missed week 16. And then in week, I think, 14, he only had 7 points. That's because he only had 28 yards. I think he got hurt that game. I think he had a concussion or something. But anyway, so what I'm saying, back half of the year, awesome. I mean, just great. Problem is, last year, red zone targets from the 20-yard line, he only had 12 red zone targets. I mean, only can only go up from there, right? I mean, I know the Saints are a run-heavy offense. I mean, that's just Taysom Hill's going to get 4 rushing touchdowns each year. Don't know why, but he's going to get them. But, I mean, you're telling me your number one receiver only got 12 red zone targets? You're telling me that's not going to change? They got rid of Michael Thomas, who I think had 6 touchdowns last year. So I'm saying there are plenty of opportunities coming up. We've talked about it before. Rashid Shaheed, we just don't think is the guy. I just don't think he's going to take that next step up. They haven't drafted another wide receiver. So, I mean, who are they going to throw to? That's kind of like the argument we've had for a couple of these guys. Like, there's no one else to throw to but Chris Olave in this on this team. And when he was thrown in the red zone, he caught like 75% of his targets. So, I mean, it was pretty good. But he just has to be targeted more. I think him and Derek Carr are going to work on that. So, last year he only had – he had 138 targets, 87 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And he averaged 12 yards per catch. I think that is his floor. I think that's his floor. I think that's the worst it can get. I think I honestly do. He's projected for 90 receptions, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 rushing yard. Just 1 rushing yard. That's it. And no. Then he's projected 158.7 total points. Here's why the 158.7 points matters. Let me pull it back up. He is going as the number 12 receiver right now. He is being the only guys he's behind: Nico Collins, Mike Evans, Samuel Wilson, Nacua, and then your top guys, Brown through CD Lamb. So I'm just saying, I think Chris Olave can finish above guys like Nico Collins and guys like Garrett Wilson. I think he can do it because there's no one else. I mean, Garrett Wilson's in the same situation, and honestly, we don't know how Aaron Rodgers is going to be. I mean, same situation. So you're talking about a guy who's projected to be top 12 to 8 wide receiver. I don't think he can be wide receiver number one. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He doesn't have the quarterback for that. But I do think you're getting a guy who's going to be a top 10 receiver. I just think he's going to have a breakout year this year because Derek Carr is going to give him the ball. And finally, the Saints have the 5th easiest schedule in the league this year. The 5th. So they're not playing – just elite defense, which can change. I mean, it changes once the year starts. But they're playing the 5th easiest schedule. And I think with that, and I think they're going to be a pass-heavy team this year. And so we're going to see Derek Carr and Chris Olave connect, and he is going to pop off this year. I'm telling you.
Mark it down.
Mark it down. I do think he's going to finish better than guys like Nico Collins, who's going to have to find his way out of a 3 wide receiver deep field. I mean, that's just because he's not going to split snaps with anybody. There's no one else to throw the ball to.
I respect it. It's hard to catch a duck, though. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't know. I don't know if Derek can do it. I'm just not big on Chris Olave. I don't like Derek Carr that much. I'm big on Alvin Kamara because it's easy to throw a 2-yard pass to a running back for him to take off, but it's just he is the only guy, which I think would be the only thing that would make me want Chris Olave is because he is the number one receiver and there is nobody – Rashid Shaheed. Like, I don't even know who that is. You know what I mean? So, Chris Olave, I understand, but I feel like I have to agree to disagree with you, right? That I completely – you validated it, and, like, the more you give me the stats, I'm like, okay, I'm with you. But, like, in terms of a guy I like, I'm not a Chris Olave guy, you know?
My thing is, if you like Garrett Wilson, I feel like you also have to like Chris Olave in that sense.
I'm not a Garrett Wilson guy either, though. So
okay, see, that's what I'm saying. I think if you're going to be like Garrett Wilson's going to have a good season, well, then by like additional properties, you have to also like Chris Olave. This is kind of my thing. What do you think, Matt?
I like Chris Olave, the player. He's a phenomenal player. He's got all the talent in the world. I don't like Derek Carr, but I go back and look at his stats last year, and he had a 68% completion rate. He really wasn't that bad. He had a 98 passer rating. He is what he is. For some reason, the connection between him and Olave just hasn't been amazing.
Yeah.
But as you said, I mean, getting 138 targets, that's a way to be a top 10 receiver. And he's going to get that amount of targets again this year. And like you said, I don't necessarily think what he have 1,200 yards or almost 1,200 yards. I don't necessarily think that's his floor you said floor, right?
Yeah, I said the floor. I think
That's pretty wild. I think that's about as high as he's going to go. But where I do agree with you is the receiving touchdowns. That can grow tremendously if him and Derek Carr can get that connection in the red zone. So if he puts up similar numbers with just a couple more, like say he gets 90 receptions and then just two or three more touchdowns, this could be a player that with where you draft him late in the second, he really could move mountains for you this year. They just need to get a little better rapport together, and he really could be and I hate saying it, because I don't like the Saints. I don't like Dennis Allen. But Olave, just as a player, you can't deny the talent. Mm-hmm. So if Derek Carr can just get him the ball consistently in the end zone, he really could have a great year. I see why you say it. I really do. I see the potential there. So it just depends if him and Derek can connect a little better in the end zone. But I don't hate it at all. I do hate Derek Carr, but I don't hate the Olave pick.
I saw a meme of like Derek Carr was trying to sign jerseys and no one wanted them to sign his jersey.
If Radler got some playing time, I do think that he would just absolutely pepper Olave.
I agree.
I like that take.
He's the best player on the team. Or I mean, I'm talking about Olave.
Spencer Rattler? Oh, no.
Rattler is not the best player.
I mean, dog. But, I mean, Alex Rowan seems to think Spencer Rattler's move.
I mean, he honestly he didn't have a bad preseason. He looked pretty good. I think Rattler would use him as a safety blanket, which it would be nice if you're in a PPR league and he's just getting peppered every single game. It'll be him and Alvin Kamara just getting every single pass.
Yeah. Hey, they'll get down the field, and then Taysom Hill will get the touchdown.
Probably. But like with Breece Hall last year, that we don't think the Saints are going to be at a good offense. But with Breece Hall last year, that was a terrible defense, and he had a top five fantasy season just because of the amount of passes he received. So if that happens with Olave and he's just getting peppered every single game, he really could have a very good season. And he's got the talent to do it. Like, he's a guy that could do it. So that's what you're looking for. And if you've got the will to draft him, you go right ahead. I'll let you do it.
I got that will. I got that. That's why I'm going to win every league. I mean, come on now. I got that dog in me.
We'll see.
He really could be a good value. All jokes aside, he really could be.
He's worth it. I mean, that 20 spot, I mean, that's where he's at. I'd take him over Nico Collins. I thought that was a good argument. I'd take him over Nico. Crowded backfield. I mean, Nico's a dog, but it's hard. You can't get everybody the ball. I mean, there's one ball.
On that Nico point, I really don't know where you guys stand on this, but I see Stephon Diggs as a third receiver in that offense. I don't see how he could be anything more than that. I really don't.
I think he could maybe be the two, but I don't think he beats out Nico Collins for the one. But the problem is, I don't think the difference between Nico being the one and Stephon being the three is going to be like, I don't know. It might be 25 receptions, which is big. But, like, I don't know if it's really like, I mean, if he's not going to have 90 receptions, he might have like 75, Nico. But if you're saying Tank Dell then has 60 and Stephon Diggs is going to get like 50, I mean, they're all going to end up being like wide receiver 20 something.
Like Nico and Tank, they both averaged like 7 targets last year. So I'm really interested to see like what's going to happen. Are they all going to be middling options this year as far as fantasy goes? That would just be awful for fantasy. We don't want to see three receivers getting the same amount of targets every game. I do think Nico and Tank will kind of separate themselves, and Stephon will he'll be the third guy. He's there for 1 year anyways. He's going to be on a different team. And Nick Wright pointed it out. This could be a Hollywood Brown situation next year where the Chiefs get him for 1 year on a team-friendly deal and he plays for that next contract. Watch out for that. If we get Stephon next year.
Oh, Lord. It's already
Diggs ain't taking no small contract. That's just not his personality.
He's going to get that money.
But
With that being said, though, if he doesn't have the success this year.
He ain't going to get paid.
About the money. That's who he is.
But what if they're not offering to pay it?
Someone will offer to pay it because you got like the Panthers that suck.
Put some respect on the Panthers.
I saw that video, quick tidbit. Well, one, you still got to remember Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon are in the mix. So they're going to get receptions. I mean, it's just a fact. So they're going to even less. So, I mean, that's why I'm not taking it. I don't have any Texans players on my teams regardless. I think I have Schultz because I picked him up as a free agent. But I saw that video from the Vikings where they're like, who would you least like to date your sister? And they all said Stephon Diggs, and it just cracks me up. That's a good video. But yeah. I just think it's because I think that's part of the reason I don't think Diggs will take a pay contract or a contract cut.
That was a good point with Mixon. He has just been a pass-catching back over his career, especially in Cincinnati. So if he brings that over – the Texans really didn't start throwing to the back until late in the season when Singletary kind of got all the snaps. Mm-hmm. So with Mixon being there and him getting the receptions, and Schultz was a targeted guy in that offense last year, and people kind of forget it, like you said. So there's just a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. I don't know if this is a situation where like Stephon's going to blow up on the sideline and they just end up getting rid of him because he's on such a deal that they can cut immediately. I could definitely see that happen. He just blows up on the sideline and they just end up
cutting him.
Yeah, because
that's possible.
The offense is already so good. It really is. So there's really no need to have that distraction on the sideline.
I mean, you got to think there's the amount of corners that you got to take to cover three elite receivers. I think Tank's going to be elite one day. So, I mean, really three elite receivers, that's tough. So, really, I think they just got Diggs to take another guy and to have a name out there that scares people. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to ball out. All right. Well, we're going to keep going with our game changer gems. Got two more to take on. We'll do the snake. So I guess that goes back to me. I got another guy that I had last year. Listen, he's not necessarily exciting, okay? But hear me out. This is a guy I do love.
We're going way over the hour mark. This guy's going to take us 20 minutes to argue about.
If we don't argue on him, we'll go quick. All right. DK. Metcalf, the tank, the big boy, Hoss out there, DK Metcalf. I'm a fan, okay? Last year I had him, and even for James Cook, I sat both of them on the worst week to sit him when they both had 40.
Yeah.
Talk about the most mad you can get anytime. It's just awful. If you do fantasy, you understand. So he was receiver 16 last year, and he played 16 games. He had 225.4 fantasy points in full PPR. He had 1,114 yards and 8 touchdowns. It's not like, oh, great, you know. But the touchdowns are big there. I think this year he'll have a better year than last year. I mean, at least in terms of yards for sure. I don't know if he can have 8 touchdowns this year. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to, I think, get a lot more work this year, hopefully. Tyler Lockett's, I mean, he's in the nursing home almost at this point. So I'm not worried about Tyler Lockett too much. The big reason why I'm big on DK Metcalf this year as a game changer gem and like a my guy the new OC and new head coach. It's a whole new system. I think they're going to play a little bit differently than they have. Been with Pete Carroll. Never was a huge fan of the guy. I mean, he did good. But the OC is Ryan Grubb from Washington. Listen to these stats, okay? With Michael Penix Jr., who led the nation in passing yards at 4,128 and passing yards per game at 324.5, he was ranked third with 33 passing touchdowns, okay? So Ryan Grubb knows how to lead an elite passing offense as long as he's got a quarterback that can do it, right? The only thing that I am kind of iffy on in terms of the Seattle Seahawks is Geno Smith. I am not a huge Geno guy. I mean, he can throw the ball, sure. He can be a quarterback. But can he lead a top five, top 10 receiver when he's got Tyler Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba? I don't know. I'm not saying he's DK Metcalf is a league winner, but in terms of ADP value where he's at, it's not that bad. I'm just a big fan of DK this year. And I think, I mean, he's going to command targets. It's who he is. He gets end zone targets. I mean, I watched a game where he got every end zone target every time they were down there, it felt like. I mean, he's the guy, and they're going to throw him the ball. So I like that about DK. Another issue I think I have, if Geno went down, you know who their backup is?
No, who's their backup? Nope.
Sam Howell. So not a very exciting name there. So if Geno goes down, there's no hope for this team, honestly. Maybe. I don't know. He'll throw that ball too. So it's not exciting. It's not the best thing in the world, but I am a big fan of DK. He's going to get end zone targets. He's going to get his yards. I mean, he's consistent. That's what he's done. He's a dog. He's huge, deep threat. He can get them short routes bigger than every corner, it feels like, out there anyways. And he can beat him off the line because he's just strong. So I'm big on DK this year. He's my game changer, Jim, number two. How you guys feel?
It's kind of a tough one. They are almost like the Texans in a sense, to where they got three receivers that they just spread it around to. If you actually look at the stats last year, he got 109 targets, but he only caught 66 of them.
Yeah.
And
a lot of that's on Geno.
A lot of it are inaccurate passes, yes. But DK has never been a guy that's just – he doesn't have a magnet on his hand to catch those balls. He's kind of a possession receiver, kind of like Adunze was at Washington coming in, the rookie this year. He does get the red zone targets like you were saying, but a lot of that was kind of carried on that one game where he had the three touchdowns in the single game.
That's fair.
I think that was against the Cowboys, wasn't it?
Yeah, they peppered him in that red zone that game.
Yeah, I mean, when he's hot, no corner can guard him. Yeah. It's just, he's a very inconsistent receiver, and I think something that will surprise a lot of people is Tyler Lockett got more targets than DK did last year.
Which is disgusting, but
yeah, he outpaced him. I think it was only by three targets. But Tyler Lockett got 122 targets. That's kind of absurd. And then the Jackson Smith and Jigba, he got 93 targets. So they really do spread it pretty evenly across those three receivers. And they did just extend Tyler Lockett, which no one likes to see. He's an older receiver, not really sure. I mean, he's still productive, which is kind of sad to see. You don't want to see that if you're a DK manager or a Jackson Smith Jigba. We've all expected him to just come into the league and start tearing it up. And it just hasn't happened, which he got a lot of receptions behind the line of scrimmage last year. They're trying to manufacture receptions for him. I really hope they kind of let him go down. I mean, he's a phenomenal route runner, so I kind of hope they get Jackson more involved this year, which I think they will with the new OC. I think the ADP value's there. He's just kind of a scary receiver to put a lot of hope into.
I'm a big risk taker, you know. Take them risks.
I mean, the touchdowns, they're worth a risk. You saw it last year. He can have a game where he puts up three TDs.
Yeah.
But on that same coin, he's so inconsistent that you sat him that game. You had him sat down.
I also had some top receivers, though. So
no, I understand that. But his inconsistency forces you to sit him on weeks that
you feel it. You feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you sat him on a week and you missed out on the three touchdown game. that's just a tough pill to swallow.
You're telling me, man.
It would just be nice to have a receiver that you feel more security in. But with where he's drafted, you kind of have to take the risk.
You gotta take him.
So I don't hate the pick. He's got the potential to go crazy. It's just you never know what's going to happen. Jackson could take that leap this year, and he could be outpacing him in targets. You really just never know.
I think a big thing on why he's a game changer, Jim, this year for me is the new coaching staff changes. I think with a new offensive scheme that seems, in terms of his pedigree, heavy passing. I mean, if they pass that ball a ton, those receivers are going to get the ball a lot. And I think Tyler Lockett he shouldn't be getting the targets this year. I feel like that's the case. So I have DK big in terms of if they pass this ball a lot, DK is going to get that ball because he's gonna create open spaces. He's just huge, and he's an athletic specimen. The dude's a dog. Since we got a little bit of time left, we're going to get to Matt's last game changer, Jim, and then we're going to get us out of here for today.
Hold on.
Oh,
real quick. Not anything. I'm just saying, the week you didn't start DK Metcalf for the 30, I also didn't start Calvin Ridley for the 30, so it evens out. You would have lost.
That's valid. The week before, though, I didn't start James Cook.
Just had to bring it up for the people. But, all right. Yeah, that's all. Good championship game.
It was a good championship
game. I think DK Metcalf's fine. I just don't know if I'd pick him over guys like DJ Moore and Devontae Smith and Michael Pittman and Jalen Waddle where he's falling. But I don't mind him. If you believe in him, then I don't mind. If you really think with your gut, that's who it is.
I do believe in Michael Pittman too. Just throw that out there. But so it's a hard area for me. But Matt, go ahead and give us your last game changer, Jim.
Yeah, I'll be quick on this one. He's not super flashy. He's just going to get the job done. That's what he does. His name is Mark Andrews. So when he's healthy, this guy averages he's on the field 85% of the snaps. He's always out there. He really is. So within the fantasy, there's like five guys that can finish top. They can finish in that first place spot for the tight end position. I think Andrews is one of those guys. He averages 80% of the snap share. He gets targeted over six targets a game when he's on the field. He's Lamar's favorite target. And then he gets, on average, three red zone targets a game. And he's such a big guy. He's going to come down with the majority of those. The receivers over in Baltimore, they aren't red zone target guys. It's either going to be them running it in, Lamar scrambling, or it's going to Andrews. It's one of those three options. And I just feel very secure having Mark Andrews as a tight end on your team. You know he's going to be there. You know he's going to get the targets. He's Lamar's favorite guy. I think he's just a really safe guy who's going to put up good points for you all year. The only concern with him is the injuries. That was kind of a fluke one last year. It was just a bad tackle, and it just ended up hurting his ankle. And they have a good backup, Likely. So if you did have Andrews and he went down, you could just pick up Likely, and he would almost fill in the same position. Likely did really good last year when Andrews was out. So you could take Andrews, and if he does get hurt throughout the year, just pick up Likely off the waivers. He's not going to be on a team as a backup tight end. So you can just pick him up off waivers and just go on with your life. But Andrews is just such good security. You can trust him every week. He's going to get you those points. So that's why I chose Mark Andrews.
Do you think he's going to finish number one? My guy, you think he's going to things can finish number one?
If he can, I think there's a huge caveat there. If he can stay healthy, and it's hard. Like Travis Kelce, he's an older tight end. He could finish one. The safest option's probably McBride, because I know you're giving me that face, but Travis is so good. McBride is probably going to get the most targets out of all these guys. So McBride's probably the safest option. LaPorta, he did so good last year off his touchdowns. He had an unbelievable amount of touchdowns last year, and I don't know if that's going to be consistent for this upcoming year. But I think it would either be McBride or LaPorta that are likely the ones that finish first. Even if you're in a PPR league, you could kind of add in Evan Engram in there just because of the amount.
The amount
of targets that Evan Engram gets is going to be crazy, especially with them losing Calvin Ridley. I know a lot of people have a ton of faith coming in with Brian Robinson Jr. He could end up being one of the really good receivers on that team. But as of now, Evan Engram is he has the majority of that target share over there. I think Kirk is the only other guy that has any type of rapport with Lawrence. But anyways, getting back to my guy, if he stays healthy, he has the potential to finish one. I don't think he will, but I think he'll be top five. And that's why I like him, just because of the security he offers you.
I agree. I don't have any argument. I think Mark Andrews, good tight end. No argument against that.
Yeah, there is five tight ends I think you got to take off the board, and he is like the top three out of those five, in my opinion.
It's kind of crazy this year. The tight end position is kind of deeper than what you would think. I mean, guys like David Njoku, he's going late in drafts. Ferguson's going late in drafts, and he was heavily targeted in the red zone.
I'm riding with it.
Yeah, if you punt the position, don't freak out, because there's actually a ton of tight ends that can be top 10. There's only like five that can be in that top five area, but there's a ton that are actually going to be pretty good this year. So don't freak out if you don't get one of the top five guys.
I like it. It's hard to argue Mark Andrews. And I think, like you said, in terms of consistency, if you want a safe bet, you got to pick him. He's been a dog for a long time. Well, I think that does it for today for our Game Changer Gems. Good segment today, boys. If you guys want to contact us in any form with questions or comments, you can reach us at takeologyfootball@outlook.com. That's takeology football@outlook.com. We would love for you to contact us. We'd love to hear from you, all of our fans out there, because we know there's millions of them. Because who doesn't love some Takeology, baby? We got to hype us up out there. Hey, spread the word. You know, if you're listening, if you get this far in the podcast and you've heard this, that's an hour and 10 minutes. So let people know. That means you're dedicated. All right, we'll send this off. Thanks for joining Takeology. Have a great rest of your day.
It's been a pleasure, boys.